See, just gentle movements with the hammer. Nice light hits. All right, you try that. Straight in.
What are you etching?
Well, this is just an exercise.
Because is this a class?
This is a class.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Oh, okay. No, I was just stopping.
My name is Kevin Van Hentenrick. This is the Hunter Stone Carving Seminar. Learn the ancient art of stone carving.
Yep.
This is our second week, our fifth year of the program. We have 12 boulders here. Bluestone, local, the local materials, what the Catskill Mountains is made out of.
Kept at it. I'm self-taught. There was no one in Manhattan in the mid-70s teaching stone carving. You know, all of the art down there is conceptual nonsense. So I just had to learn it on my own. 38 years later, I'm actually starting to get the hang of it. I was studying acting in the 70s in New York City, and I went and saw a film, an early Ken Russell film called The Savage Messiah, which is about a French carver named Henri Gauthier at the time of World War I. And in the course of the film, they showed an actual sculptor's hands working a block of marble. And I was so turned on to and by the idea of stone as a plastic medium that the Academy was right around the corner from the Sculpture House, which is a sculpture supply place in the city. So I started walking back and forth in front and looking in the window, and then I would walk in and look around and walk out. And when I finally worked up my nerve enough and saved up what I hoped was enough money, I went in and tortured some sales girl with every question I could think of. And I bought three basic chisels and a hammer, and I went and found a rock and started beating on it. But what happened when I first touched steel to stone was this feeling that makes the term epiphany sound lame and too light. A profound experience that this was what I was meant to do. And that moment powered me since.
Give us your hat.
Pre-war Paris in 1910 was revolution. It was Picasso, Chagall, Palm, and Henri Gaudier-Breschka.
I need an audience. There's no such thing as an artist who doesn't need an audience.
18 years old. Highly articulate.
Nothing but luck backed up by slave labor.
So good. Of course they should be disturbed, shocked into life.
Humans have been doing this in all over the world, in all different materials, for 60,000 years.
Love it or hate it, but don't worship it. You're lucky. I'm here.
I'm making a hole. Yeah. My name's Jim, and I'm carving a rosette. This is the original rosette from the Catskill Mountain House.
Oh,
from one of the pillars up at the top. So I'm trying to turn that into stone.
It looks really good. Have you only been doing this a week?
I started a week.
A week ago.
A week ago.
So what's the tool you're using?
A chisel.
It's a pneumatic chisel.
It's a pneumatic chisel. It's a real, it's like 1/8 thick, you know, for detail work to get in here. I've been driving past here for 5 years, and they're saying, you know, I always want to do it. And one day, last week, I said, we're stopping. And Kevin welcomed us in, and it's been great. Actually, the first week, what I did was if you look at the stone over there, mm-hmm. you see the name on the top up there. It's just the one right in the center. It's actually my name in ruined letters in Viking script. And you know, I wanted to try something simple, you know, with just a flat with, you know, carved letters in it. But now I'm trying to actually create something more than just graffiti.
But after a week, do you feel like you're getting a feel for the material?
And Kevin's great. He really takes his time and he shows us. I can just imagine, I mean, this course that he's, that the town and the art and Kevin themselves are, you know, offering for free. I mean, it's a $300-$400 course for just a weekend, and he's doing it for free.
Sure, my name's John Menzie. I'm from Westchester County. It's like an hour and a half downstate from here. And I've been wanting to take this course. I'm 21 years old. I've been wanting to take this course for like 4 years now.
How'd you find out about it?
We went to Kevin's Rip Van Winkle sculpting Hunter Mountain. It's on the top of Hunter Mountain, and it took him 14 years to do. And it's like a life-size Rip Van Winkle sculpture, like an actual person. He's like waking up. And we went there about 5 years ago when he was finishing it up. He also said the first day that to try to avoid doing something that's just like, because this is going to be around for a thousand, maybe tens of thousands of years, so try to avoid doing something that's just like Mike was here, you know, do something with a little more meaning. So once I'm done with the chain link and I polish it up and everything, I'm going to inscribe the last name, a different last name of every family member in my extended family that lives on the Catskill Mountaintop on each one of the links. So it'll be like, my last name is Menzie. We've been living up here for like 100 years. Frank, which is the generation before mine. Winston, which is my mom, my grandma's mom. And I think there's like 7 links. So I might do like the next generation down, which is, you know, Procario, stuff like that. Just so in 1,000 years, if this is still here, it'll like mean a little bit more than just kind of a cool image. In purchase, I work mostly in metal. Casting too, yeah. They didn't have a stone sculpting course, so I was really excited to hear about this course. And
you think you're gonna bring this into your work now?
Probably, yeah. Because the tools are fairly cheap, and as I said, I like the pace of the medium. Less chance to mess up, you know.
I'm Barbara Goodstein, and I live in Tannersville in New York City, mostly Tannersville. I've done other carving, but not stone carving. I'm a sculptor, and I work a lot in clay, and I work a lot in plaster, which I put on boards that are painted black. And I work from life, from landscape and figures, and yes.
This medium you have to stay loose with. All right. That quote that the figure is there and he's just unleashing it, that's a romanticized way to look at that. That's like saying, you know, a journey of 1,000,000 miles starts with a single step. Well, that's true for the first step. That's as far as it's true. For example, in the Rip Van Winkle, if you stand on the rocks and look down at him, he's further to the back of the stone than the front. And originally we wanted him in the middle of the stone. But when we were blocking out the face, there was a softball-sized lump of clay there, which wouldn't carve and wouldn't last. So we pushed the whole figure deeper into the stone to get beyond that little lump of clay so we could do the face in good stone.
Straight in. Draw this line 2 or 3 times.
My name is Ted Carlson, and I actually found it in the newspaper. I started with the jack-o'-lantern because it was very easy, and it got to test my skills first. Like, I got to work on some diamonds with the nose and the eyes. Pretty much, it was a test piece. Like, I got to work with 3D a little bit. And after I finished it, which it only took about 2 days, I wanted to test myself a little something with a little bit harder. So I moved over to a shield with a dragon in the middle of the shield coming out of the shield. And I've been working on that since Wednesday of last week. So I may be done with it by today, regular work. And maybe I'm going to polish it kind of like some of the other pieces around here. What they do is they start with like 100 grit sandpaper and make their way all the way up to 400 grit. All just sanding. He started us out with regular hand chisels and hammers, and that was easy. And then he gave us the air power tools, and that makes it half the time. Yeah, it's a savior. I don't know how they could have done it back then.
This is the old school. This is a hammer and chisel. And you know the way it's been done for millions of years. It's an impact to the stone with a sharp object. You know, I say this is newer technology, but it's actually from, I think, the late 1800s. A hammer, pneumatic hammer.
Okay.
It's the same tool as that, just air-powered, one moving part, and then you have a chisel that fits into it. So instead of tap, 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 you get... So it's faster and smoother. It's a little more difficult to use because of the size of it, but once you get the hang of it, it's much, much faster. Hang on 1 second.
Yeah. Good question. What's your number?
What I do see a lot is, especially in kids who are used to a click of the mouse and it's done, they come here thinking they can carve something fairly ambitious in 10 minutes. And it just doesn't work like that. It's a slow medium. It's not a difficult medium, though. That's the other thing, that the other misunderstanding that people have. They think it's going to be really hard to do because the stone is really hard. But it's not. As I said, the actual material removal is rudimentary. And I mean, it was done by Neanderthal man with a sharp stone. Chisel in there, and you run it up that ladder, one side and on the other. Make it deeper and wider, deeper and wider. Hey, you want to carve?
Yes.
All right,
I already have my drawing.
Okay.
Before the rose, I cropped that out.
Wow, very nice.
Thanks.
You got to give me a few minutes though, because I have no tools right now.
I'm okay with that. Oh, Adelia Roberts, Pine Bush, New York. I'm 20. Oh yeah, I came about 4 years ago with her, and we first did something on like one of the rocks that was here, and we liked it so much that we came a couple days later and brought our own rocks. And every year since, he's let us bring our own and work on them. So, every year I see people, like we see different people come, and a lot of people are returners. So it's nice to see them. Like every year you catch up and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of started out really morbid in a sense. Like we had four dogs, and they all passed away within like a year. So we were like, oh well, we'll do one of each of our dog, not like. And then it was like, all right, that's a little weird. We should probably start doing something a little different. Yeah, something that's a little less creepy. So.
Yep.
Like
over there.
Nope, this is going to be a female allegory, like the Statue of Liberty. It's going to be called the Spirit of the Mountains.
Okay.
On her left shoulder, she holds an urn. And the water that flows out of that is going to flow into the Catterskill Falls carved into her robes. And in this hand, she has an infant. Bear on this side, a mountain lion on this side, all the flora and fauna of the Catskills around her. So, a big full-blown piece like the Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, nice.
Someday.
I'm scared of myself.
So, let's try this straight in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep,
of course.
Don't hit your hand. But for me, see, if I were Michelangelo or Bernini, and I spent 1,000 years working on this rock, it's never going to be a real face or a real chain or whatever. It's only going to be a rock shaped like it. So, and the thing, my favorite, one of my heroes is Bernini, Gian Lorenzo Bernini, the sculptor of the Baroque period. And he was a master at knowing what you had to do, how little you could get away with to give the feeling of something. Look at the way he did hair or cloth. It's, you know, you can look at the folds of a garment of his, and it's just that part is a masterpiece. The idea here is not photorealism. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to have the feeling, the guts, you know, the fire. That's much more what interests me about art. That's your guide now, right? And you take it and you lay it over on a 45, and you scoot the corner of that chisel up that line. Nice little hits. See how gently I'm hitting it?
And it's moving up.
Yeah.
Cool.
If you hold it at the right angle, it moves by itself.
Some
with
of
each
them will.
Hill.
The okay. ones that are badly cracked will stay here. The ones that are pretty tight, once they're fully carved and there's no more room on them, they'll get placed throughout the town of Hunter and there'll be a map. And eventually we'd like to have the class include a contest. So sculptors will set up in the town streets and in the course of the class carve a piece of sculpture which will be judged by art professionals and the general public. And then there'll be prize money. So that's kind of where we're going with this. Turn the whole mountaintop into a sculpture gallery.
Then once you do both sides, you go deeper again. And wider. I want you to do the wider part.